This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Patriots Report, part of the Believe Network, joined by two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan. I'm Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Be sure to comment, subscribe, rate, and follow this podcast, and tell all of your friends who are Patriots fans to do the same. You can also watch us on Believe TV around the country, in airports, and on YouTube. Also, make sure to check out my Patriots coverage in the Boston Globe and bostonglobe.com. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Today on the Patriots Report, Chris Hogan and I wonder just how important reps are when it comes to the New England quarterbacks. We reveal some hot takes when it comes to the receiver room and talk about how the locker room really felt when Bill Belichick hired his son Stephen Bryan to coach on defense. All that and much more up now only on the Patriots Report. All right, Chris, it's all about reps today, both virtual and otherwise. So let's start here. From what we saw at Tuesday's OTA session, Jacoby continues to take the bulk of the reps, which makes sense. But I'll ask you this question. We'll start with this. Should Drake May be getting more reps? I mean, if he's QB of the future, you could make an argument that he should be out there more than he is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Jacoby has been there longer this offseason. He's obviously had more of a chance to study the playbook. So I think that he's getting the reps just because, you know, Van Pelt wants to see his offense run efficiently. And he's got a lot to prepare for and things to plan for and people to put in place. And, you know, that first 11 that they're putting out there week one is definitely not set in stone. So I think he wants a veteran guy to be out there. Drake needs to obviously continue to learn the playbook. He's only been there for a short amount of time. So his, you know, the expectation and the urgency needs to be is way up here for him, I think. But listen, we've had three OTAs. He had a rookie mini camp. He's been up there for 2 weeks. I think his reps are going to increase. I think right now they're going with the vet. They're going with, I think, what Gerard is comfortable with, what Van Pelt is comfortable with. I think they have a plan in place. And if Drake shows that he's capable of doing all these things, you know, mini camp, maybe he gets a few more reps, and then going into August and training camp, you know, him and Jacoby are splitting reps depending on obviously how he's doing and how Jacoby's doing. I mean, Drake could take off, right? And it's just like, well, shit, we got to start Drake. You know, he's going to be our week one starter. Let's go. You know, but I think we're operating in this world of Jacoby and Drake splitting reps. I think they'll start to kind of even out a little bit. And then however we're going to go and what direction we're going to go in towards for the start of the season, that guy is going to get the reps at the end of the training camp, and he's going to be with the ones, and Drake will be there as well. But again, it's, you know, he's got a lot to learn here. Jacoby's been there, done that. So I think they're going with the guy that, you know, they brought in as that veteran quarterback.
We're making too much of this, aren't we?
What else do we have to talk about?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But it just feels like,
where is Drake May's locker? Is he in Tom's old locker? What I want to know.
Yeah. It looks like, by the way, from what the Patriots social media team has provided for us, he's in Amendola's old locker.
Okay.
Right next to Tom's old locker.
That was me. It was me, Tom, Dola. And then Jimmy was next to me, and then it was Grant. Yeah, so he's in good company.
Yeah, it's a good neighborhood.
It's a good neighborhood. I think for what it's worth, and I think we've talked about this before, I think Kendrick Bourne has your old locker.
Nothing makes me happier.
Yeah. It's a good spot. That's
how's
some good
he looking
real estate
out there? How's he doing out there?
He is not moving around. He's not. Cole Strange. There's a handful of guys who have are coming off injury.
Got it.
You know, rehab,
so
whatever.
Rehab stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Who haven't gotten into action. And I think that at least right now, and we can get into this more, but I think basically KJ Osborne is Kendrick Bourne insurance at this point.
Sure.
You know, and we talked about how many wide receivers they might carry and what that all, you know, what that's all going to look like. I think if Kendrick Bourne is not ready to go come July, August, I think you're going to see KJ Osborne get more of an opportunity. But it was fascinating to see yesterday the way the wide receivers look, because I really think Pop Douglas, and here's my hot take for you right now. I got a hot take for you after seeing yesterday's OTA session. Pop Douglas is going to lead this team in catches this year.
I would tend to agree with you on that.
He's going to get 70-plus catches, and in a perfect world, I'm saying the ceiling here, he is basically a Dollar General version of Tyreek Hill.
Sure. Because
he plays so fast. There are times where it looked like yesterday he was almost out of control. He was so quick. And if he stays healthy, I think it can all come together for him. But Baker looked good. Tyquan Thornton looked good. And I think Tyquan Thornton now understands the level of urgency that he has to show at this time of year if he wants to guarantee a roster spot.
Yeah, I mean, some of these, you know, these second-year guys, you know, some of them kind of come back and they've figured it out a little bit and they know what they need to do and what they can't do and what it's going to take for them to get on a roster spot. So you always see those bottom, you know, those guys who are on the practice squad or rookies or, you know, second-year rookies, and you kind of, it's either goes one way or the other. They either kind of go one direction and they're not doing well and they've just kind of, you know, it is what it is. They don't care as much, or it goes the other direction, which I see more frequently is they put a lot more work. They didn't love spending a year on practice squad and getting their heads kicked in every single day and doing all, you know, everything that we needed to do. So, I mean, that's how I was, right? I always came back in better shape and tried to come back in better, you know, route running, you know, everything. So, that doesn't surprise me that a guy like him has come back and it's got that little sense of urgency, you know, about him at this time of year. You know, it's just, again, it's got to continue, right? It's OTAs. We got helmets on. There's no one in front of you. You can't even touch people or else you're going to lose a draft pick. So it's easy. It's, you know, this is a mental game right now. Who can learn the offense? Who can show up every single day, kind of have good energy about them, you know, prove to these new coaches or, you know, some of the new coaches that, you know, you belong there, and then leave that, you know, that good taste in your, in all the coaches' mouth, you know, right? Like in their minds, where come August, like, all right, cool. Like, let's get this kid some more reps now. We're live bullets here. Let's see how he does. And so, you know, August is really going to be the tell for this entire team. You know, until we put the pads on, we do our first joint practice, really get the, you know, competition flowing here. That's where we're going to find out.
A couple more wide receiver notes for you. First of all, I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to continue that ascent, hopefully, because it's going to be a crowded wide receiver room. I don't know what the future is for him.
Yeah.
I would like to think that he would.
I don't think he's on the team.
Yeah, you don't think he makes the team?
Uh-uh.
All right. That's your hot take.
That's my hot take. I think that we're going to, I mean, listen, I would love for him to be there because I love the way that he carried himself last year. He didn't have a great year. No one did, but he was a veteran guy who definitely has proved himself. He's definitely lost a few steps, you know, just like now that he's gotten a little bit older, but again, he's a veteran. He could be a leader in that room. I would love for him to take a step forward and take on more of a role. He didn't really have a role last year. You know, we talked about this a bunch last year. It's just like, where was he? And he wasn't in any of the personnels. He was rarely out there. But I mean, he's proven that he can be a good player. So I think that he could be, I think this is a big training camp and a big preseason for him, because I think at the end of the day, I think we can look at it and be like, well, we have two guys that we drafted. We have Pop. We got KJ. Kendrick's coming off injury. That's five.
Yeah.
Most teams keep five.
Yeah.
Right. So there's all right, do we keep a sixth? Is he the sixth, or do we go with one of the younger guys? So I think, you know, he's in a position where it's like he could be one of those late camp cuts, or we just, you know, depending on how he's doing, cut our losses and just let him kind of get picked up somewhere elsewhere. But I think that's kind of the world that he's in right now. So this is a big time for him now, and it's going to be even bigger in August.
Wild card guy in all this, I still see him as Jalen Reagor, who is a back end of the roster guy. Yeah. Admittedly, caught everything that was thrown in his direction yesterday. Looked with competitive. Plus, with no one on him, but it's still, you know, the bar is low for that fifth or sixth wide receiver spot right now. The other thing with him, he has special teams value.
I know he's fast.
He returned the kick for the touchdown last year against Buffalo, and in a crowded wide receiver room.
Is he returning? Have you watched? I watched the one punt that kid blasted down the field. But
yeah, Bryce Behringer's in midseason form already. Yeah. He's pretty good. But they didn't do, I mean, obviously, you know, your point earlier, there was no hitting. It was football related activities. There was no real football. I'm just saying, when it comes to Reagor, that he has that card that he can throw on the table.
You got Pop out there, but how much of a role is he going to play on offense? I mean, is he going to be able to play offense and do special teams and take the hits on, you know, can he be that reliable, you know, guy that you throw back there, can not going to make mistakes? Sure. But if he's not, then yeah, that six spots could be a special team spot for sure.
The other thing too, is I think you can also probably get Thornton to the practice squad, given his level of performance the last couple of years, even if he does have a good spring and a good summer. So you have some options there with him. But look, it's going to be really competitive. I was on a podcast with someone else earlier this week, and they asked me the best positional battle in camp this year. And I think it's going to be the back end of that depth chart, because you can make an argument that Pop, Baker, and Polk are three guarantees for you. Man, not even gear, but I mean, they appear to be as secure as anyone else on that roster, at least they're right guaranteed. Now, I see you rolling your eyes there.
They're on the roster.
Yeah, we know they're on the roster. So there's either two or three spots left, and there's an awful lot of guys in that room. And so I think it's going to be really interesting who distinguishes themselves over the course of, you know, the next couple of weeks and then into July and August.
Yeah, it's August, man. It's July, August, man. That one-on-ones, that those first live reps, it's going to be like that door of opportunity is going to be open, and then it's going to be kept open or shut pretty quickly. Because if you go out there and you get stoned at the line over and over, or you're dropping passes, or, you know, you're not learning the offense as quickly as everyone else, you're going to get left behind and you're not going to get the reps. And then you're just going to be fighting for that practice squad spot or just reps in general. And that's a tough place to be in training camp. It really is. That's mentally, it's tough. Physically, it's tough. It's not the end of the day. It's not the end of the world. You know, there's 31 other teams out there. So you always have to keep that in the back of your mind that, yeah, it might not be here, but like, get it together so that it could be somewhere else. Come, you know, preseason, you put some good tape out there and see what happens.
I thought of you when I saw Pop Douglas trailing around after Jacoby Brissett during Wednesday's practice, where you want to do whatever you can do to endear yourself to the quarterback.
Yeah.
And not in a demonstrative, you know, look at me kind of way. And there is a nice chemistry that is starting to build. We're in late May, but it's starting to build in my mind between Jacoby Brissett and Pop Douglas. And that's one of the reasons why I went back and said that before.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Jacoby's no dummy, man. He's going to go, he knows what he has to do, but he's going to throw the ball he learned from one of the best quarterbacks for a couple of years. And Tom did not throw you the ball if he did not trust you. I mean, he would flat out tell you that. Be like, listen, man, if I don't trust you, you're not getting the rock. It does not matter. I don't care if you're wide open down the field. If he doesn't trust it, you're not getting it. And I think that Jacoby, I think that he's in his veteran, you know, after his years of playing, he's probably doing the same thing. And he probably sees Pop. And I mean, I'm sure if you say everything that Pop is doing and he looks great and he's catching the ball, like, Jacoby's going to keep, keep feeding him. Like, make me look good, man. Like, keep getting open. I'm going to look for you. And then, you know, he'll sprinkle it in and do what he has to do as far as his reads go. But, you know, that middle of the field and his position, I mean, it's so crucial to the game today. You know, we're not bombing it down the field, right? Mm-hmm. That's hard to win football games. You got to be able to control the middle of the field, you know, with your slot, you know, with your tight ends, cross the field route. So, yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And I love that Pop's trying to create that chemistry, man. I mean, that's as a young kid and as a young receiver, that's all part of the game. That's all part of being a pro and knowing exactly what your quarterback's thinking on, you know, on every single play.
It's a weird question, but work with me here on this. On a team where there is some uncertainty at the quarterback position, when it comes to who is going to be the number one guy, is there a danger if you're a wide receiver in sucking up to the wrong quarterback? not from a am I going to piss this other quarterback off standpoint, but
I mean, no, but there's a fine line that don't want to cross.
Yeah.
Because I've been there before where, you know, you're playing at a team where, let's just say, you know, E.G. Manuel's first year, and then he comes back the next year, and all of a sudden you bring in Kyle Orton, and who do you go to, right? But you don't want to necessarily, like, this is your guy that you've been around, like, you don't want to piss him off so that when you are getting reps with him, he just is not throwing you the ball. So yeah, I mean, that's I think it's funny to talk about, but I think it's a real thing. I think you have to do, you know, whoever is going to be, you know, it's going to be one of two guys. Just do your due diligence, man, and just get in the room, watch film with these guys, get them together. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go watch film all as a group, because at the end of the day, Jacoby has, you know, yes, he's a competitor, but like, he wants to win. Drake's a competitor. He wants to win. All these guys want to win football games. They don't want to happen what happened last year. So let's, like, forget, like, let's leave check the egos at the door, right? And let's do this as a group. Whoever's going to be throwing the ball, it does not matter, because we all have to be able to support each other through this thing, because at some point in the season, you're going to see both quarterbacks. So I think that these guys just have to make sure they're doing a good job on both sides of this thing, you know, playing the relationship on, you know, both ways, and not tailoring to one guy or the other and making the other guy angry. That's funny, but yeah, you definitely don't want to, you know, suck up too much to one and forget about the other.
You get the wrong guy and you go, what was all that work for? So no, I just thought it was an odd, because for so many years, obviously here in New England, it was Tom. And it was clearly like, look, he's the guy. He's the guy you need to work with. He's the guy you need to find in the summertime and go fly to him and, you know, go work with him and stuff. And now there's a little bit of uncertainty there. So wanted to ask you a couple more questions about reps. Mayo brought this up yesterday, talking about guys getting, specific to the quarterback position, getting virtual reps, kind of getting video reps. Did you have any of that VR stuff, that virtual reality stuff, when you were there in Foxborough?
No, we did it the old school, old fashioned way, you know, with the remote and recording and just watching. But I have heard that teams have this now. I have no idea what it's like, so I can't really speak on it too much. Who was I? I think it was either Mahomes that has it in Kansas City. Yeah, but it is around the league. And I think, listen, if it's something that you can replicate some sort of game speed reality and you can see these things and be able to diagnose defenses in, you know, virtual real time, I think that's helpful. You know, I think that's only going to help his learning process and understanding how things are going to, how he's going to see things. And what's great about maybe this virtual reality practice or reps is it's not going to be the first time that he sees something, you know, when he's on the field, when it's a corner blitz or a safety blitz and you got to identify where the hot side is or something like that, or a blitz that you haven't seen. And a lot of times it's, you know, you're in practice, you haven't seen it, you mess it up, and then you go back and you correct it, right? And you get to see it. But maybe this virtual is a chance for him to see it, mess it up, but not actually be out on the practice field, make the corrections. And now when he goes out there and he gets actual live reps, he sees it, he's seen it before, and can hopefully make the, you know, the right adjustments and put the, you know, the team in the right place. So I'm all for it, man. Whatever can help these kids. If it's virtual reality, I mean, that's not how we did it, but it sounds pretty cool.
Is there anything else that he could be doing? I mean, we talk about getting in the film room and working with your wide receivers before practice, after practice. Is there anything else in your mind that he could be doing to try to, you know, kind of get ready, basically, for lack of a better term, for July, August, and September?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's spend as much time with Van Pelt as possible. You know, it's you haven't been around this guy. You have no idea his thought process on how he's going to call plays and what he's going to do in third down situations, third and long, third and short, red zone. You got to I think what was so cool about Tom and Josh was they were around each other for so long, right? And Tom knew what Josh was going to call in those got to have it situations in the red zone. He knew what to expect. So a play call coming in the red zone or third down, it didn't just take Tom by surprise. He's like, okay, cool. I knew this. This was our couple of plays that we talked about. We went over. I'm ready for it. Whatever comes. I think right now, you know, Drake is, I'm not going to say surprised by the play call, but he doesn't really know what to expect from the play calling. And listen, everything's scripted right now, so he knows what's plays they're calling, so that's easy. But in a game, you know, that changes, right? Down and distance, you know, got to have it, where they're at in the field. So I think just spending time with him and really diving pretty deep into, you know, his way of coaching and playing and play calling will help, you know, his whole process as, you know, he kind of figures out how to be a quarterback in the NFL.
I think we have one more OTA session that, we get to take a look at next week. And then there are 3 days of mandatory minicamp, and then they cut him loose for summer vacation. If you're talking to a rookie at this time of year, what's one piece of advice, not necessarily football related, but one piece of advice you could give them to when it comes to succeeding, when it comes to putting yourself in the best possible position to succeed going into training camp?
This is a job. This is not college football anymore, where you get to go home and hang out with your boys and, you know, go to the beach or do whatever, you know, kids do or whatever they do during the summer. Like, this is a job. Treat it like a job. You know, you're this thing, this career, this dream that you had to play in the NFL can be taken from you pretty damn quickly. And if you don't come back in shape, if you don't come back ready to play football, if you're not practicing out there, get, you know, whether it's lifting, running, route running, working on your craft for the, you know, maybe what, 3-4 weeks that you're off, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So my advice is to go home, see your families. You know, it being a rookie is a long haul, man, from the draft all the way to the start of the season. And then you're done till January. So I think you take a little bit of time off, you know, like kind of get your mind mentally prepared for what's going to happen next. And then you just get right back to it. And you just understand that you don't take anything for granted, right? You don't take a single day for granted, whether in practice, whatever it is, like you're constantly working on this so that you can be the best football player that you want to be, right? And then also, let's try to make this a long career, right? I don't want it to be a short career for any of these guys. So don't in 5 years, 10 years from now, look back at yourself and be like, damn, I wish I worked harder. That will be the worst regret, and that will be the worst feeling in the world. If you're just like, if I was a rookie And I knew that I went back during, you know, the offseason and training camp, and I practiced a little harder. I worked a little harder. Like, you don't want that feeling. That's something that'll hurt, you know? So that would be my advice. You know, 10 years from now, if you look back on it, are you doing enough? And if the answer is no, then get out there and do more so that you can make this a long career.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I want to shift gears here a little bit. We heard from Brian Belichick yesterday for the first time since he agreed to return for the 2024 season, even though his father left and his brother left. And it was interesting. By the way, his brother was sitting up in the stands with Ivan Fears and Patrick Chung in the bleachers. So you had Brian Belichick on the field and Stephen Belichick kind of sitting up in the stands visiting practice. I'm curious, and I've asked a bunch of guys this, and guys both on and off the record have said mostly nice things, but what was the estimation of the Belichick sons in the locker room when you were there?
That they got the job because their dad was a coach. But that was I think when Steve was there, he was the safeties coach. Yeah, he got made this. He was appointed the safeties coach. Now you're in a room with Patrick Chung, Daron Harmon, Devin McCourty. Jason McCourty was in there at some point. You know, you have Stephon Gilmore in the DB room. You had guys, man, that were all pro type guys that were now learning from someone who played college lacrosse. And yes, is he from a football family, and was Bill probably teaching him the right things? 100%. But it just, that was tough, I think, for a lot of those guys initially to stomach. It's just like, how is this guy going to help me get better? Right. Now listen, to Steve's credit, he freaking studied and learned. And I think at the end of his time at New England, dude could coach, you know, he knew what he was doing. And I give him all the credit in the world to keep kind of he knew it. He knew that he didn't necessarily belong in that position probably at that point in his career. But again, he didn't step back from that. He was there every single day teaching, whether he was regurgitating whatever Coach Belichick was saying, or Matty P when he was there, whatever they needed to do, he did. And I think Brian's probably in that same, kind of falls into that same category right now where, do you deserve to be coaching, you know, some of these guys? Probably no, right? But that's not to say that he's not going to, you know, do what he needs to do and better himself as a coach and keep learning. He's there for a reason, man. I mean, you know, yes, did, you know, being Bill's son help a little bit to keep him there and keep him around? Sure, I'm sure it did. You know, this league is just, you know, constant. It's a Ferris wheel, man. You know, whoever, if you're in the league and you get in with certain people, you're going to last wherever they go. But, you know, Brian's a smart kid, man. I've been around him. He kind of knows it. So he's got to build his own confidence and do his own thing and kind of trust that he knows what he's talking about. And as an NFL player and as a guy in his room, you can't sit there and just be like, who the F is this guy? Like, that's not going to do anything for your team. That's only going to create chaos. And it's only going to create just bad mojo and people talking about different things. Just go out there and play, man. And if you want to talk to him, you want to talk about different things, then help the kid, you know, help him learn. and then maybe you guys help each other. So we're not a team where we can sit here and point fingers anymore. Like, we got to do this. We got to do this thing together, and we got to all kind of come together and not just be like, oh, well, if I had a better coach, you know, we would have won football. No, that's not it. You need to just play good football, and that's all you need to focus on.
Do you ever remember a time where one of them or both of them were openly challenged by a player in a meeting or on a practice field?
No, because I think because you had guys like Devin, because you had guys like Daron Harmon and Patrick Chung and Logan Ryan, and you had guys that just knew how to win, knew how to do the, you know, do everything. I think there was such a good relationship with Steve, with Brian, and those guys, because Steve didn't have to do much, right? He didn't. It was more of like, okay, how do I help these guys prepare? Mm-hmm. Right. And you're not going to teach a 12-year vet, Devin McCourty, who's went to however many Pro Bowls, really anything about being a safety, but you can help him prepare. You can say, hey, this guy, you know, this is how this guy runs routes. This is how, you know, this is where our read should be. Like, this is what I saw on film. Like, those are the things that you can help these guys with, especially the younger guys. Teach them how to watch film. This is what you do. You're a coach. You guys watch film, after, you know, countless hours. Teach them how to watch film. Teach them how to prepare, man. Teach them how to break down a team or a receiver or just an offense, where their eyes should be. Like, that should be your goal. Like, your goal, these guys are in the NFL because for a reason. They are very, very good athletes. And they, yes, do they need to get better at their craft? Sure. But maybe they don't know how to watch film. Maybe they don't know how to study. Like, that's where, that's your value right there, is help these guys prepare for game days and get them as ready as possible. And I think that's where Brian and Steve probably do a very good job, because they are products of their father, right? Who was a football junkie, and they probably watch film with them, and they know the history of everything. So I think that's probably where they hold the most value when they were there, you know, and as Brian currently is.
Last question on this with the two Belichick sons. Do you remember the moment maybe where things started to change, the perception started to change in the locker room, that these guys were not just the sons of Bill, but they could bring something to the table from a coaching perspective? Or was it more of a gradual process?
I think it was more of just took place over a couple of years. You know, I think as Steve kind of every single year, he kind of came back more and more prepared. And, you know, I mean, if you are you're able to do the job and you can get to a place where you can call defenses and do different things. Like, I wasn't around when he was calling defenses, so I can't really speak to that and how well that was perceived. But listen, you were learning from some pretty damn good football coaches. So I got to imagine that he was kind of replicating exactly kind of what they would want and how they would want it done. So, but I think it was a gradual process, you know, for Steve. And I think it'll be the same thing for Brian. Again, like, you know, who we got is who we got. We can't change that right now. So, you know, accept it for what it is. And I think Brian will be able to take on a little bit of a role here and really help these guys prepare for football games.
It was interesting to hear Gerard talk about how Brian was able to rise above any level of awkwardness that might exist, you know, because of the history between the franchise and the family, especially over the last 12 months. Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting angle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's fascinating when you consider everything that's gone on between that family and the franchise, again, especially over the last decade or so. I want to finish with this. There's a report out there that the NFLPA wants to shuffle around fundamentally the off season, making it more of a gradual run up to training camp. That would mean kind of OTAs in June and then kind of leading into training camp. And so you wouldn't necessarily have that dead period, say in April or May, that's usually occupied now by workouts. What do you think of that idea?
So, like, they would be doing stuff in April? Is that what
the NFL? No. It would be more of the OTAs fundamentally would be shifted to, like, June, and you would be in the facility, not be in the facility, but, you know, you would be engaged in football activities from, like, June and just go right into training camp with OTAs. And it would be more of a gradual ramp up into training camp as opposed to what you have now when you have the OTAs, the mandatory mini camps in June, and then you take 6 weeks, 5 weeks off. Right. And then you come back for training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I think that's got to be something that the players collectively obviously agree on. And I think giving these guys more time off after the season definitely helps, you know, especially for guys that are playing until February, you know, late in, or, you know, whatever, whenever the Super Bowl falls, you know, that's not a lot of time off, man. It, you know, for guys that are coming off injuries or just to rest your bodies, you know, you finish in January, like, yeah, sure, you might be eager, but listen, take the month, or those are valuable. That's valuable time for you to continue to get in shape and continue to work and spend time with your families and be at home. And then, like, all right, cool, June rolls around, you know, now it's, we just, that gradual ramp up. But yeah, I don't hate the idea. I would have loved a couple extra weeks at home with, you know, spend with, you know, with the family, instead of like going back and forth and doing all this stuff. So, you know, I think that's something that could definitely work. I think it just has to be, you know, the schedule has to be, you know, thought out and done the right way.
Well, it would suck for sports writers who want a summer vacation.
Yeah,
I'll say that. And because it's all about sports writers, that's the first, and that's the first thing in my mind when I heard that. We'd have to take two weeks off.
Some real crazy stories, you know, to get some.
All right, Chris.
Rumors.
Oh yeah. And I think part of it too is also where you're looking to keep the NFL going, kind of that you know, that carousel, like you mentioned before, where it's just where now the NFL has been able to say, all right, here's the schedule release, and here's something for May, and here's something for June, and
it's just
going to be a 12 month a year thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like that too. I mean, I kind of like the, you know, the consistency of it, right? That'd be a long time off for guys like yourself.
That's, you know,
we'd have to really come up with some interesting things here.
more talk about quarterback reps.
Yeah.
More talk about quarterback reps. We're gonna revisit this again next week, because we have a couple more before we take a little bit of a summer vacation and then dive into training camp. But we're gonna come back to this next week. Chris Hogan, as always, my friend, I appreciate your time. Take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. One more reminder, this episode has been brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.